One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, inside the Warren's Occult Museum. A conversation with Eric Vitale, member of the New England Society for Psychic Research. Ed and Lorraine Warren made a life out of investigating the paranormal and helping people escape from the dark. Part of that process sometimes involved removing haunted objects from people's homes and keeping them safe in what would become known as the Warren's Occult Museum. For the first time in history, a professional paranormal investigation was conducted by the New England Society for Psychic Research at the museum. Today, we discuss their findings and the spirits that came through with Eric Vitale.
Well, Ed and Lorraine Warren formed the New England Society for Psychic Research in 1952. They started going on lots of cases, investigating lots of hauntings, and they basically just got to a point where they're like, "We need to start a society, and we need a place for these haunted items that we've been bringing back to our home." Because in the beginning, some of these items were kind of spread throughout their home, because not too many people know this, but the Occult Museum is actually, it's attached to Ed and Lorraine Warren's home. You have their home, and then there's what Ed used to call the haunted passageway. And you can walk through the house, through this haunted passageway, into the Occult Museum. So it started back in 1952, actually. And the most well-known haunted item, obviously, is Annabelle. And at first, he would just have her sitting in a chair. Time would pass, we had a case made for her, but in the beginning she was just sitting on a chair with a rope in front of her that said "do not touch."
Mm-hmm. Was there, before we get into Annabelle and all that, when they decided to create, you know, this, you know, annex almost of their home, to put these objects in that they have collected over the years on various cases, was there a specific reason other than, you know, it gets kind of cluttered having those things around your house? Was there anything that was going on where they said, let's get this out of the living room?
Well, there wasn't, like, there was haunted items all over their home, but I've seen photos where there's some things that were, like, in the living room, and I'm like, oh that's in the museum. I think Ed just wanted an area for all of the things, plus he liked to have the proof of these objects so people can see that. And a big thing that Ed always wanted to let people know is that the devil existed. So this was the proof. These were a lot of cursed items that have dark entities attached to them. And there's quite, every time I'm in there, I see something new. And I've been in there quite a few times now.
Was there any accounts ever of Ed or Lorraine or anybody having anything happen, you know, in the house prior to the museum with the objects just kind of being displayed within the area of where one is living?
I remember hearing a story that they would go out, and like Annabelle would be, I don't know if she'd be in the museum or a certain part of the house. Most likely the museum. This is going way back in like the early 70s. They would go out, they'd come back home. Annabelle would be sitting in Ed's recliner when they walked into the living room. This doll used to teleport. She would move on her own. That's one story that always stuck out to me, that she actually would be in the museum. They would leave the house, go out, run errands, come back home, and then there's Annabelle sitting in the living room when they walk through the front door. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's interesting. And you use the word teleport there, because I think a lot of times when you think of, you know, the Annabelle doll, and this probably comes more so from, you know, movies and people's imagination more than anything else, is the idea of this doll getting up and walking around and going to its location. When something like that would happen, do you believe it is a teleportation type thing, or is it somehow being moved and dragged there? Or when that thing would move? I mean, obviously you weren't there at the time when this was happening to them, but it's just kind of, you know, what's your feeling on it?
I've never witnessed this, but as I would hear the stories that Ed would say, I mean, this is when I say teleport, basically she would dematerialize. Mm-hmm. And reappear at another location. This is something I've never witnessed. It's a little scary to think about it, that something could be that strong that could actually happen. But as far as I know, that has not happened in a very long time. And I'm talking way back to like the 70s, before they started having the binding prayers happening all the time. Like a priest comes by once a month. This has been going on for years now. This was in the early stages, before there was even a case, because Lorraine actually had a case built for Annabelle, and she had a carpenter come over, and he was down there building it, and it's attached to the wall, and the same case is still down there. There's a different haunted doll in that case now, but something frightened him, and he left, and he didn't want to finish, and he never came back. There's two other cases for Annabelle, actually. We have one when we bring her to events, which is a bit lighter. And our senior lead investigator, Dan Rivera, actually infused the stain with holy water and holy oil before he painted the case. And the St. Michael prayer is on it. There's three crosses on it that represents the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Trinity. So we take proper precautions with how we keep her and when we have to move her.
And I'd love to jump kind of more into that in just a little bit. But before we do, let's dive into the story a bit of Annabelle and what, sure. what the real story is, not what we've seen necessarily in movies and such, and how things have been. You know, there's tidbits here that are accurate, but let's talk about the real story. How far back does it go? Let's begin with that.
Okay, well, first of all, the movies, total Hollywood fabrication. They're cool horror movies, but that's not the true story at all. Ed and Lorraine Warren got Annabelle in 1970. It was a case that they had in Hartford, Connecticut. There was two women living in an apartment together, and one of the girls had the doll gifted to her by her mother. Her mother got it in an antique store, but nobody knows anything about where it actually came from prior to that. If it was used in some type of weird ritual, they just know that they got it from an antique store. So these two girls are living together. They're in Hartford, Connecticut. They're nurses. And they would treat the doll as if it was a real person. They would bring it to the kitchen table with them. They even put a little a bracelet on her that says Anna, that is still on the doll to this day. They started noticing things. One day she rose her hands and put them up on a kitchen table, and they weren't scared. They were intrigued by this. These girls weren't scared at all. They had a friend of theirs that would come by sometimes, a young man, and he was freaked out by this. He's like, this is not right. Like, that doll is evil. I don't like this doll. He ended up taking a nap one day at the apartment. He had a dream about the doll, and when he woke up, he had psychic wounds across his chest. He was bleeding. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember their names, but this was back in 1970, and Ed and Lorraine would always try and get them to come and do their lectures, and they never wanted to talk about it. They were really scared. So they got in contact with Ed and Lorraine because they were making the rounds back then. People knew who they were. They got in touch with Ed and Lorraine, and they came to the house, and they said that they told them everything that was going on. I'm just remembering now. They would actually also find pieces of parchment paper all around the house, and it would say things like, miss me, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have any parchment paper in the house. So they had Ed and Lorraine come in, and they basically told them everything that's going on. And they said that they actually had a psychic medium come, and that the psychic medium said, well, there's a little girl inside that doll, and her name's Annabelle. She was killed in a car accident. And Ed and Lorraine immediately knew that was not true, because God would never let the spirit of an innocent little girl inhabit a doll. This was something demonic. This is an inhuman spirit that was using that doll as a conduit in order to gain recognition by these young people, and its main purpose was to possess them. Ed and Lorraine took it back to the museum, and that was in 1970.
Was there any sort of fear with Ed and Lorraine of taking this doll that's been doing these things and bringing it into their house? I mean, I know that they did everything they could, you know, for protection from this. Mm-hmm. But you got to think a little bit, you know, especially, you know, they had a little girl at the time, too. Can you completely protect yourself from something like that?
Ed and Lorraine were extremely religious. Mm-hmm. Their faith meant a lot to them. And I've been on the team for about a year and a half now, and the stories I've heard about Ed was like the Archie Bunker of like the paranormal. I mean, Ed would go into a haunting, and it was like fixing a TV. You know, it was like his life's work. He didn't really get scared by these things. He did what he had to do, and he wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. So they had brought the doll back, but on the way back home, their car, they almost got into an accident. The car kept jerking, and Ed turned around and threw holy water on the doll.
Wow. So once they get the doll back to their place, and it's eventually then put into, you know, the museum, is that kind of the end of what it's been doing, other than kind of what we talked about early on, where it had moved around the house a little bit?
Yes, as far as I know, yes.
Okay.
I just heard stories of it teleporting here and there in the early days, but mm-hmm. as long as I've been in contact with these people, and I've known everyone for about 6-7 years now, nothing's happened. There was a little scare at an event a few years back, I remember. She was actually on display, and the lock actually like just shot up.
Oh wow!
Like the case unlocked itself.
Mm-hmm. Is there precautions that are made? I mean, obviously, I know the case has the way that you described how it was made, with holy water being mixed in with the stain and things of that nature. Are there other precautions that are made other than kind of keeping it where people can't obviously pick it up and touch the doll? Are there other things that go on to keep this thing at bay? And do you guys think that there is still something connected to this specific doll?
Well, you heard that EVP, didn't you, now, Tony?
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute, yeah.
I don't know, but why would you want to take that risk?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we take these proper precautions when we have to move her. Ed told Tony how to move her when and if he has to. So whenever we have to move her, we do what Ed told Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Dan move her a couple of times. There's a lot of holy water involved. Basically, you do not want your aura to mingle with that aura of whatever may be attached to that doll still. You never want your skin to touch the skin. I'm sorry, to touch the fabric of the doll.
Sure.
So that's why Ed told Tony, if you're going to move her, you need to soak gloves in holy water. First, soak your hands in holy water. Put the gloves on or a blanket. Cover a blanket with holy water and just wrap her around, pick her up, and move her to the next location.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.